listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. So I knew what I wanted to do for a show this week, but my schedule sort of got in the way of doing it perfectly. I was going to be down at Disney World with my family for the opening of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge's newest attraction, Rise of the Resistance, which is supposed to be sort of a life-changing experience, if you will. So for the Disney and the Star Wars fans that are followers of the show, I knew that Summer, Mommy Points, my buddy, was going to be down there as well. We were going to be spending some time together, and I really wanted to get her perspective on the ride, as well as mine after I'd had a chance to experience it, but that left the window of time fairly tight. So we recorded outside the Disney Skyliner. Their new cable car is down there outside, so there's a little bit of background noise in this segment. Also got some video of it as well that we're going to put up on the YouTube channel. But it's sort of just a 20-minute riff on what she and I thought about not just Rise of the Resistance, but how this changes Hollywood Studios as a park, and you know what your strategy should be if you're trying to ride this iconic ride. And spoiler, it certainly was like nothing I've ever ridden before. Definitely some interesting opinions. I wouldn't necessarily say it's, oh my God, a home run, but I think we had a lot of good feedback on it. So hope you'll enjoy the segment, and look for a more normal episode next week when we bring the show back to our regular recording schedule for the finish of the 2019 podcasting season. Enjoy, for now, me and Summer talking Disney's Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and Rise of the Resistance. Okay, so we are coming to you kind of sort of live from Disney World, where the two families are sharing a vacation here, and we're sitting on the bridge, the newly created bridge, in between the Value Resorts Pop Century and Art of Animation, by the Skyliner station, which if you have some free time in between spending lots and lots of money with Mickey, not a bad place to hang out and watch the Skyliner cable cars go back and forth.
Yeah, just close your eyes and imagine the colorful character gondolas taking off over the water, and that's what we see.
Right.
Sorry you don't see it.
Yeah. Lighting, and you know, her contract said I couldn't allow it, so you deal with these things. It just is what it is. So we've now both ridden the new Rise of the Resistance ride at Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which was what all the big Star Wars fans were waiting for to sort of, you know, pass judgment on this land. And so just for clarity, for anybody who hasn't been paying attention, Summer is a huge Star Wars fan.
I am, dating back to, you know, birth in 1981. I think my first movie in theaters was Jedi. Mm-hmm. So it's in my, like, DNA or life story or one of those.
One of those.
One of those.
And I am the Star Wars equivalent of a muggle. I've ridden the ride and didn't understand larger parts of it, so I looked at it from, like, the technical parts of it. So you'll get different perspective from both of us. But we'll start with the more relevant one, having ridden Rise of the Resistance now three times?
I don't know. I've been evacuated off of it a few, so I'm really not sure how you...
What the official score is?
Yeah, I've lost track. I mean, I've done at least three start to finishes, maybe slightly more.
All right.
I'm not sure.
All right. So having done it that many times, what's first off, what's your impression of the Rise of the Resistance?
Yeah, so it's hard to compare it to anything else.
Yep.
Because it's its own thing. So if you go in there expecting a ride and you want, you know, big thrills and drops and turns and... Like, it has a little bit of that, but that's not what it is. And so, in fact, I loved it when I read it. I wrote it first at the media preview. We were able to do it a few times in a row, and I was speechless, and I had no spoilers before I wrote it, so sorry. I really loved it. I came off of it giggling, and that was the only sound I could really make. So I woke my children up on this actual real vacation, not a media trip, pre-dawn. And hauled them to do it because I felt so strongly it was so amazing that, like, you had to do it. You were here. You have the opportunity. And both of them, who were 4 and almost 10, preferred Falcon because it was more, for them, interactive. And they were looking for, like, a ride, like, a, you know, Tower of Terror drop or a rock and roller coaster upside down.
Yeah.
And this isn't that. It's an immersive attraction. And if you like Star Wars, bonus points if you love Star Wars. It's out of this world. Sorry for the pun. If you don't care about Star Wars, I think it's still really, really impressive. But they opened my eyes a little bit that for kids, it might, especially kids who aren't as into Star Wars as me, Falcon may be just as good, if not better, for some of them until they get older to appreciate like how amazing this is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, along that line, when we talk about Falcon, I think most folks weren't super impressed with Falcon at the beginning, most Star Wars fans. And, I mean, I like the ride.
Yeah.
I think from a technical standpoint, so to get a bit nerdy, the technology that they use in Rise of the Resistance is the technology that they used at the Ratatouille ride at Disneyland Paris. So it's a car, like a traditional ride car, but it doesn't ride on a track.
Trackless.
It uses magnets and other, you know, voodoo witchcraft that Mickey created.
Mostly voodoo.
And so that makes the ride more fun because you're not 100% sure where you're going to go. I really like that aspect of it from a technological standpoint. I think that I think some of the stuff they did graphically, where like stormtroopers were shooting at us and things like that, I was amazed that those weren't done with like actual holes in walls and stuff like that. Some of that stuff was projected and it was unbelievable. So from a quality standpoint, technically wise, I was blown away by what they were able to do.
Fully.
Charlie, my son, is a huge Star Wars fan, like off the charts, and so he totally dug it.
Yay.
I think I would expect him to be more like completely blown away by it. I think when you talk about it being an experience, I think the thing for him was, yes, there wasn't that one moment where it was like piloting the Millennium Falcon sort of thing, but I think ultimately he loved being in the experience for a half an hour.
Yeah.
So I think that for him was like just being able to spend that sort of immersive time there was cool to him, even if he can't quite put it into words.
Yeah. It was interesting. I really thought my kids would be more wowed, but they're kids. And so it's kind of like they like different things than adults.
Yeah.
And I won't go so far as to say Disney made this ride for adults, but I do think it's one of those things you appreciate more the more you're able to see the details and think about what went into it.
You're right, and kids aren't going to love that, per se. And so we on this trip, we lost track of days here for a second, but the day before we did Rise of the Resistance, we did Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure.
At Universal
Studios. And background noise, again, guys, we're back outside.
Live-ish.
And that was a golf cart-ish thing in the background. So sorry about that, but this was the only way we could get this done in time for publishing deadline this week. So apologies again for the background noise. But we rode Hagrid's, and it has, I might get the number wrong, but I think it has 9 starts. So, like, the high acceleration parts of, like, a roller coaster.
Yeah, and kids are going to notice that.
Oh, I mean, it was highly noticeable. If you're over the age of 30, it will likely affect
your equilibrium. You're also going to notice that the next day.
You'll likely walk funny. And they were all uniquely blown away by Hagrid's, and in a way that was different than Rise of the Resistance.
The other thing I think is tough that my almost 10-year-old also schooled me on Rise of the Resistance was the hype for her had built it up so high. I mean, I had been excited about it, but it wasn't just that. It was the fact that you had to wake up pre-dawn, literally, like hours before dawn.
Yeah.
And that there was thousands of other people already lined up there pre-dawn, also all excited. So she really thought she was going into like the coolest thing in the world, which some would argue she was. But just not in the way she was expecting. So the hype, I think, for her hurt a little bit, I guess. But she still liked it. It's not that she didn't like it. She really liked it. My mom loved it. You know, she's almost 70 and appreciated all the details and what went into it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's worth doing. It was just really interesting to me that for kids, Falcon might be just as good.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my wife is a huge Star Wars fan as well. Maybe not quite to your level, but very much dedicated to all things Resistance and Skywalker and
the Empire, the Jedi.
All those
terms. Take it back.
Look, I know who Jabba the Hutt is. That's what I got for you.
Yeah.
And she said that like she was definitely wowed by it, but she said she almost felt like a little bit of a letdown because of how much hype there was.
Yeah.
It was almost exactly what
daughter said.
What your daughter said. And from that standpoint, I think, you know, that comes back to Disney not having everything open at once.
I think so.
So, like, I guess and I know we can't go back to this world, but if everything had opened at once, I wonder what people's impressions would be, because they'd be doing all these things together.
Well, we'll know. So people who go, say, a year from now, when, you know, I imagine Rise of the Resistance will still have the longer line.
Yeah.
But when it's all more equal and you're walking into it totally done and not brand new, you know, we'll know.
Yeah, and I also wonder, too, let's move to a little bit of, like, the nitty-gritty for folks who are doing this. As it stands today, there's no fast pass options for either ride.
Right.
And so when we were in the parks the last couple of days, which is in the middle of the holiday season, there's a little bit of a lull, side note secret. If you need to come down to Disney for Christmas, do it the second weekend in December.
The earlier in December, the better, as long as Thanksgiving's, like, over.
Yeah, yeah. If when Thanksgiving's, like, November 28th, you probably want to go to, like, December 10th.
Yeah.
But, so, given those crowds, I never saw Falcon get over 40 minutes.
I saw it approach an hour, but I'd say it was 40 minutes for a chunk of the day.
Yeah, and that's a pretty reasonable time.
Yeah.
I don't know. So right now what they use is they use a boarding group process for the new Rise of the Resistance ride. And so Summer alluded to it in terms of having to get here unbelievably early. You have to be in the parks.
This is the bad news.
To activate your magic band, and everybody who wants to ride has to be in the park. You can't bring somebody's magic band in. And then once you're through the turnstiles, the virtual turnstiles, if you will, then you have to open up the My Disney Experience app. I mean, you can use a traditional kiosk, but we would advise strongly against it. But you use the app, and you get yourself a boarding group, and you have a time to come back. When we waited in line, it was about 30 minutes in the queue once we were in our boarding group.
Yeah.
But
what Ed's not saying yet so far is that this is still early on. So we are mid-December. It opened early December. And the park keeps opening earlier than you think it will at Hollywood Studios. So not only do they keep bumping back the published opening time, so if you are coming like a week from now and it has a certain time, keep checking it because it may get earlier. But then they're opening even before the moved up published earlier opening time. So I think Hollywood Studios, when I first looked at this, was going to open at 9, and then it was 8, and then it was 7, and in reality, they opened at 6:20.
Yeah, but the gap has also closed, though, because they haven't really been opening much before, like, the unofficial opening hasn't been before 6 yet that I've seen.
I think a lot, so we were talking to some cast members yesterday, and I think a lot of them, their shifts are starting at 5:15.
Right.
Like, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And so, I don't think it's going to really push before 6.
Right.
But still, you can't just look at the app and be like, oh, it's going to open at 8, and I'll show up there at 8. No. Whatever it says, I mean, you need to probably get there an hour before what it says. An hour and a half isn't the worst. The good news, though, is you're not just wasting that time in line. You'll be able to get your boarding pass for Rise of the Resistance as soon as you enter the park. And then go do the things that were going to, like, cost you fast passes or time later. Go do Slinky. Go do Rock and Roller Coaster. Do Falcon. Falcon is the one we did first when we entered early, and we waited for 15 minutes.
Mm.
And by the time we got out of it, the line was 45 or 50 minutes.
Right.
So, I mean, the good news is you're going to get a lot done. I can't believe everything we did yesterday. I also can't believe I woke my children up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, we went through the same thing. And I think that for now, until they change the strategy, the right strategy is hit the gates as early as you can. And we went in and we did Slinky Dog and Toy Story Mania before the official opening of the park. So in the span of probably 15 minutes. Because on our day, the official opening was 7 a.m. We were let through the doors at about 6:45. Mm-hmm. And we had two rides done before 7. And then we got in line for Falcon. Falcon was 25 minutes at that point.
Good.
So we were able to do all three of those rides before 8 o'clock. But I think, you know, if they stick with that boarding group philosophy, it's no question, you absolutely go hit other things.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing it does too, the problem with Hollywood Studios is they still haven't adjusted the tiers on the fast passes. So if you're getting fast passes for the park, almost everything you want is in tier one. So you're choosing between Slinky and Toy Story and Rock and Roll and all that stuff. And so having that early morning time means you can squeeze out a bunch of those rides in the morning.
And take a great nap.
A necessary nap for older folks. I think we had hoped that they would adjust the boarding groups, adjust the fast pass groups, and make this more of an all-day park where you could stretch out your fast passes.
Yeah.
I still think the ideal strategy is get here super early. Hit your rides that you don't have fast passes
Knock
for.
Knock 3 or 4 out in the morning, real fast.
And then what? And then the rest of your day is dictated by your boarding group. Because if you have a morning boarding group, you're probably leaving Hollywood Studios at lunch and going somewhere else
To nap. We've established this.
With what? Yes, but with what you're spending for park tickets after the nap, you have to do what we did last night, which is
come back.
You got to come back. Yeah. Out. Yeah.
That was great. I mean, it was lovely. Honest to God, we took a 4-hour nap, which needed every minute
of
it.
So jealous of that.
And then we came back to the park. In fact, the only thing that wasn't perfect about yesterday, early wake up aside, was that Hollywood Studios closed at 9. And by the time we'd taken a 4-hour nap, we were ready for it to be open a little bit later.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's still the overwhelming difference between Disney and Universal is when we were there the night before, Universal closed at 7.
Oh!
So, I mean, there was just no... There were no two ways about it. You had to get in, you had to go hard, and you had to get out because they were closing. And I thought it was just because they had a special function that night. They did have a private function, but almost every night, all of the nights of our trip, it closed at 7 or 8.
I think they have a lot of private functions in the holiday season and the grad season if you go in the spring.
They must, because the 7 or 8 p.m. closings are real tough for a family, whereas, as you say, with Hollywood Studios, you guys were able to go out, nap, and come back in.
Yeah.
We went to Epcot for... probably a solid 4 hours, so probably your nap time. And came back. But I think, ultimately, I still don't feel like Hollywood Studios is a full-day park because of the way things are structured.
Yeah, it's a full-day park with a nap and a dinner. We had a dinner reservation that was fun.
Right.
But yeah, it's still not a full-day park in the same way that, say, a Magic Kingdom is a full-day park.
Right.
But it filled our day with a nap. Overall, I think Galaxy's Edge... I mean, think about 18 months ago, there was no Toy Story and there was no Galaxy's Edge.
Right.
That's a totally different park.
Yeah.
So I think with the addition of Galaxy's Edge and last year's Toy Story, or 2018's Toy Story, the year's almost over, I think it is a full-day park now if you want a dining experience and maybe a nap in the middle. I think Galaxy's Edge now is really cool. Our family all really liked it. It does feel far more complete. I would love to see... parades, shows, maybe a play area at some point. Those would all be great. An immersive dining experience would be great.
Yeah.
Down the road.
And I feel like they're, like, based on the way space lays out there, I feel like there's something else they have to be working on.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's way too much unused space behind doors that we just...
Yeah.
Yeah. That stuff's got to
change. They clearly got it open.
Yeah.
And now we'll see what comes next.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's far more complete now. You're going to have to wake up early still for any foreseeable future.
Yep.
But you can use that time wisely and just remind yourself that there's that 4-hour nap or 4 hours at Epcot, whatever you want to do. And just note that while I think adults will be blown away by Rise of the Resistance, especially if they are Star Wars people.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to enjoy it, I think. That it just may not have the same impact for some younger viewers who aren't as impressed as us old folk.
Yeah, and I still feel like if they keep the boarding groups, that certainly gives you the ability to circulate around the park a little bit more to do other things. I still struggle with it being a full-day park. I understand how you did it.
Yeah.
I can't say I disagree with what you guys did. It was the perfect strategy. I feel like with the amount of money it costs to stay in a Disney hotel and buy tickets and stuff like that, I still would have a tough time just based on the way the fast passes are structured wanting to spend a full day here unless they were able to reorganize some things. Because I think ultimately the standby lines are still, because there aren't the volume of rides of a Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so you still have, there's no real people eater for a ride in terms of capacity.
No.
And so you still have standby times that even in the best of cases, I saw, 30 minutes. I did see a 25 on Toy Story at one point.
I will add that I highly recommend you burn through your 3 fast passes. So a smart strategy on paper is that you use the morning to do walk-on and you use your fast passes in the evening.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad strategy.
Yeah.
But once we finally burned through our 3rd pre-booked fast pass, I was able to pull up evening fast passes for every single ride that has fast pass in Hollywood except for Slinky, which your luck may be better. But I was able to get everyone just pressing and repressing and repressing to pop up. So that could be your evening strategy too.
Yeah, and we didn't even get 3 fast passes. I booked Toy Story, and then as soon as Toy Story cleared, I started grabbing other stuff when I had time yesterday. I said it'll be different strategies for different folks, and we don't know if the boarding groups are going to stay. I think the thing that was the most different for me about Galaxy's Edge, now that it's complete in this
complete
phase.
For now. Yeah,
complete for now.
Phase 1.
Complete for next day. Is it now, to me, resembles a little bit more of what Animal Kingdom is, in that that's a park where we do walk around more and enjoy experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And our son, twice during the trip so far, has said, can we just go walk around Galaxy's Edge?
Yeah.
He didn't have a purpose. They wanted to go look at the toys, like the pets that were moving around, stuff
Disney
like that.
Disney's smiling.
Yeah, they are. But the difference was, which was surprised me, was he didn't buy anything.
Yeah.
He just wanted to see the interactive stuff. There are, I don't know what you call them, but what do you call the thing inside Doc Ondar's Antiquities? Is it a droid behind the counter?
Sure.
Okay. But they have these wonderful robots doing Star Wars-ish things in various places that are fun to watch and be entertained by. Yeah. Ogus Cantina, the DJ, is unbelievable.
Your reservation for Ogus.
Yes. But, I mean, all that stuff certently makes it a time eater if you're into Star Wars,
yeah.
I think.
I think that's fair. And my kids were happy to see it, and then, like, can we do a ride?
Yeah, can we go do something else now, Mom?
I failed them a little bit.
I don't know if you failed them.
It's all right. But we have more opportunities. New movie coming out. We're going
to
try again.
They got to meet all of the main characters in their Mickey out in their Christmas outfits at the end of the day.
Yes. So we closed down our day at Hollywood and Vine, which doesn't have the best reputation as a dining place.
Yeah.
But they had the Fab Five characters in their Christmas attire.
Yes.
Which meant no waiting in lines. This is my thing. Like, if we can pay to eat somewhere and then not have to wait in a line to meet a character,
yes,
great. Because my youngest is still way into characters. Minnie in her red sparkly and Goofy in the Santa outfit.
Yep.
And so the food was fine. It was a buffet. If there was no character interaction, it would be a massively overpriced buffet.
Yes.
But considering the fact that we now don't have to wait in line for any of those characters, it was a great way to end the day.
Yeah, and it's, don't quote me on the numbers, but it's like 50-ish ahead for an adult.
Yeah.
35-ish for a kid.
Yeah.
10% for annual pass holder or DVC, 20% for tables in Wonderland can make it more approachable and still get all those.
I mean, you have to eat anyway. You could obviously eat cheaper.
Yeah, you can.
But considering the fact that you got to meet all those characters while you just sit on your booty and refill your plate, it's okay.
And some of the same aspects of Chef Mickey's at Contemporary in that you don't have to get in line for the characters. So they're going to come to your table. Yeah. So you're literally sitting there and you take a few brief moments out of your time to take some pictures while the kids are with the characters. And they'll even give you pre-autographed sheets of paper.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
They're like, don't waste their time. Here's some pre-autographed paper.
Any final thoughts?
Christmas at Disney. I'm a huge fan. It's our second year running doing it. I've also done it some prior years, but we're 2 for 2 the last 2 years coming, and I think it's great. You know, Mickey's Christmas Party, enter the park at 4, don't buy yourself a ticket during the day.
Yep.
Sleep in that day, which is what we're doing today, which is why we're able to do this. And enjoy the decorations and don't overbook yourselves. Have some meals where you do cool Christmassy things and just take a break from how fast-paced Christmas is at home to come do fast-paced Christmas at Disney.
and as Disney Vacation Club members, I think we get in an hour before you. So we're going to go in and ride all the fun stuff before you get there. All right, well, before we get any punchier, we're going to go have some fun in the parks with our kids who are probably impatiently tapping their feet somewhere, wondering where the heck we are.
We are.
All right, we'll do this again sometime. Thanks, guys.
Bye!
Back to wrap up this week's show with a quick final two pennies. I hope you guys enjoyed the diversion from our standard format here with Summer and I doing a little bit of video, which you can find on my YouTube channel, which we'll link to in the show notes, as well as an audio version of her and I just sort of going over what we saw at Disney World's Hollywood Studios this past weekend. It's going to be interesting to see how the virtual boarding group sort of thing works out for Disney long term. I think it's a game changer if they can continue to employ something like this for park guests, because it really does give you the ability to do so much more during your day rather than just standing in line for a couple of hours. It's an interesting overview on, you know, what we could see next in theme parks and how they're going to make it more conducive for folks as the crowds continue to grow. At any rate, we're up against the end of the year here, so probably be a couple more shows before we get started again in 2020. I have really enjoyed my second full year of podcasting with everyone, and I'd be curious to know what you think of not only this sort of off-format show, if you like the format of the show, if you like talking about Disney, or if you hate those things. So either way, let me know. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion, and you can shoot me an email at ed@pizzainmotion.com, which is also where you can find me blogging each and every week. A big thanks to all of you for tuning into this week's show. If you have a moment and you're enjoying the show, make sure to please tell a friend. Until we upload again, we've got miles to go.